Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach and group facilitator, Trip Lanier.
Do you and your partner have a routine when it comes to sex? Do you ever wonder why your woman rarely makes a pass at you? And what would it look like for you to start taking some risks with your woman? This is part two of our talk with Shandor Gardos. Listen in as we discuss what you can do to take a stand for your sexual needs.
There's a lot of research that's been emerging in the last 5 years that I don't think has made it into the general public knowledge, which is that women's desire, women's arousal pattern, is quite different than a man's. That women's sexuality, women's desire is much more responsive as opposed to internally generated. That basically, it's really interesting. I don't think most people realize this, that women, for instance, don't report a lot of spontaneous fantasies. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that they're less interested or less sexual. It's just a different type. It's a different pattern. Mm-hmm. And when guys put themselves in a woman's place and think, well, you know, God, she must be frigid if she never thinks about sex. It doesn't mean that. It's just that women's, the way they experience desire is different. It's more responsive. So basically, a lot of women, when they first start a sexual encounter, are not doing it because they've been sitting around feeling horny. It's doing it because they want to feel close to their partner, or that feels nice, and you know what he's doing. And then they get into it as things start going. It's more like one of those like flywheels where you got to keep like throwing something into it to keep it spinning, and it starts going faster and faster.
Yeah,
yeah. Women's desire is much more like that.
It's almost like a fire that needs to be cultivated versus something that needs to be let out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think knowing that is can be a huge relief for both men and women. So that in this situation, so the guy is not going, well, what the hell is wrong with her? Why is she never initiating? And also so it doesn't feel like a rejection of him. Mm-hmm. That it's not, you know, that it's not because she doesn't find you attractive or she's not into sex with you anymore or whatever. It's that it, you know, and I know it kind of sucks on some level that you have to take more, you know, take charge more.
Right.
But it kind of is the way it is.
Yeah.
And I think if we appreciate that, then that gives us a lot more tools and a lot more power and a lot more choice.
Okay. So zooming out, you know, we just went through the non-goal-oriented sensuality. What's next?
So there's a non-goal-oriented sensuality. There's the trying to introduce some novelty.
Mm-hmm.
There's the not, you know, I think there's this the fact that women's arousal is more responsive means that there's this myth of reciprocity, that it's that good sex is supposed to be like you initiate half the time, she initiates half the time. You're on top half the time, she's on top half the time. Doesn't really work very well.
Mm-hmm.
That this is, again, a situation in which not to be regressive, not to go back to the old macho jerk idea, but instead to realize that this is a place space in which you have as a man have a slightly different role than she does.
Okay.
And this doesn't work for every couple, but it is something you might want to, you know, play with and see if it makes a difference.
And what is that specifically?
So that would be basically that, you know, you are going to be the one initiating more. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that in a non-goal-oriented way, in a playful way, where you're not coming at her through neediness, then you might be really surprised at how great that can be.
I'm just imagining the guy out there that's not initiating it more because he doesn't want to come across as a, you know, a sex hound or a pig or anything like, you know, any kind of judgment. But on the other end, is she might be secretly kind of like waiting for that. Like that's
why
part of the play.
Initiating more?
Yeah, why isn't
totally.
He initiating more?
You know, it's interesting, again, looking at some of the research around female desire, that the thing that women seem to respond to more than almost anything else sexually is feeling deeply desired by their partner. That is one of the greatest turn-ons for a woman.
And that means just appreciated, or, you know, what is that? Because a lot of guys may be like, oh, I'm really desiring her when I'm inside of her, thrusting. But
yeah,
like,
exactly. No, that's not what she wants. You just did.
Okay.
That is, I'm deeply desiring to get off. That's different than I'm deeply desiring her.
Uh-huh.
And that's what women really respond to.
And these are the gazes across the room. These are the part of that playful, the building that energy. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, this is what we're talking about is the difference between coming home from a day at work and saying, oh my God, honey, I am so fucking horny, let's go fuck,
mm-hmm.
versus, oh my God, I've been just dreaming about you and how much I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendous difference for a woman as to whether you're coming from your own needs about I'm just horny and want to get off versus I've been dreaming about you. I'm overwhelmed with passion for you.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's a tremendous turn on.
And that's got to be genuine, right?
I do think it needs to be genuine. And that's where you start getting into some of the more tricky issues. Or what if it's not genuine? What if you're no longer desiring your partner?
Yeah.
And that's where I do want to throw out that if you let this go for a while, and you're feeling like, I don't even know where to start with this. I'm not even sure I want to be in this relationship. I don't even know if I desire my partner anymore. Those are the kinds of questions where I think don't be afraid to seek outside help.
Yeah.
You know, and I would make a real push for seeing a qualified sex therapist.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It seems like, you know, we'd pay for a plumber to come over and fix the sink before we'd go talk to someone who's qualified to actually help us in this area of our life that is so important.
Yeah, that's a very good analogy, and I think it's an amazing point that you make, that there's few things that can make us more happy or more miserable in our lives, and yet we don't believe that outside experts can help us, or we don't want to spend the money or the time on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I would strongly recommend that if you've gotten past a certain point where resentment has come in, or, you know, you've talked to your partner, and you don't even know what if they're on board with this,
yeah,
then it might be really great to seek out a therapist. And I just want to make a plug in terms of two great organizations. If you are looking for a sex therapist, I would go to ASECT, which is AASECT.org. That's the American Association of Sex Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. Or I would go to starnet.org, which is starnet.org. That's the Society for Sex Therapy and Research. These are two great organizations that have directories of qualified people. And I think the reason it's so important to go with people who have specific training is very few people do. I don't think most people realize that even marriage and family therapists usually have not had even 1 hour of training in human sexuality.
Wow.
Your average psychologist is just as screwed up around sex as you are. I say that as a psychologist. it's quite striking, and this is something we talk about a lot in the field, that when you talk to guys, or, you know, you say, look, if things get really bad, who would you go see? The two number one responses are your priest or your medic or your general practitioner. The two probably worst people you could possibly go see.
Not a lot of sex stuff going on there, you know?
No training and their own set of biases, their own beliefs, and are really, you know, not going to be the best people to talk to. So if you do get to that point, I would seek qualified outside help. But hopefully you don't get there. Let's talk about some other stuff you can do.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah. So, you know, recap, you get clear about your desire for her versus the desire to just get off, you know,
right,
on her,
right,
basically. Okay.
I think there a lot of the emerging work in sex therapy is also around not overdoing the closeness. That, you know, if you're in a relationship, you have kids, whatever, you're probably, you know, trying to avoid conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of guys do. They're like, I just, you know, I have a hard, stressful life. I have work. I got my boss. I got all of the kids. The last thing I want is conflict. I'm just going to be the peacemaker here.
Right.
And I'm just going to use techniques that make us closer.
Right.
So we create safety, we create trust, respect. But, you know, they've read all the good New Agey men books. You know, they're doing nonviolent communication, all
right,
that kind of stuff. And that's really, those techniques are designed to minimize conflict. They're not designed to enhance passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is a struggle that always exists in a relationship, is how do you reconcile, as Esther Perel, the author of Mating in Captivity, puts it, the how do you reconcile domesticity with eroticism?
I love that.
It's a struggle.
Yeah, because so many guys are domesticated, right? You know, this, mm-hmm, and the idea like of guys sitting out there, what does that mean? But it's like we've been taken from wild animals, and that's where our sexuality likes to it resides. And but the whole domestication process is we get kind of neutered in a way, right?
Yeah, and I'm not advocating. I mean, there's some extreme people out there who are advocating, you know, just return to the wild man, and, you know, I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is that this is to just be aware that these two things are always in conflict. That the very things that create harmony are often the things that reduce passion. So you want to be careful how much you're using some of those techniques.
Mm-hmm.
How much, you know, and how much discomfort are you willing to bear in the service of trying to have real passion in your relationship?
And that's the idea that things may not, all the I's may not be dotted and all the T's may not be crossed in the relationship, but things may be a little juicier. Things may be a little spicier and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. So I think I would be, so if you're in a situation like we talked about at the beginning where you're just, you know, you've been married now for a while and things are starting to fizzle, I just kind of think about how are you acting differently with your partner? Are you doing things to try to prevent her from getting mad at you to the extent that you're removing any spark in between the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think it's just, it's not that you shouldn't do those things, but to be more mindful. Like those, okay, when we need to get something decided about the kids, good time to use all your communication skills.
Right.
When you're in the bedroom or in the kitchen or wherever and you're trying to have a date, that's not the time to use that.
And what's an example of that? Like, I'm imagining the guy just sitting there, well, honey, what I would like to hear from you is how was your day? Like, he's just kind of like, he's putting on a shape or something to be in relationship with her. And that's the time to actually kind of, what, like, let it hang out a little bit more, right?
Yeah, just basically to really feel into your own desire and say what you're actually feeling and what you really want.
Mm.
And I think, and again, you don't want to put, and I think the shell is a good term there, right? You don't want to put that, you know, hey, honey, you know, first tell me how you feel. You know, I think that's a bit of a shell. But you don't want to put like a macho shell on top of that either.
Yeah.
Because that comes across bad. Then you've got one shell on top of another shell. What you really want to do is find a way to just feel deeply into, you know, what is it I want right now? You know, what do I really, where's my desire?
Mm.
And really convey that, not in a way that's demanding, but that you just own it.
And that brings up the whole, you know, we've had women on the show and a lot of times they're like, well, I like to feel a man's vulnerability. And a guy immediately kind of goes into vulnerability. That means like she wants to see me cry. And in this case, we're actually talking about bringing some vulnerability to the relationship because he's actually speaking what he really wants. That's a vulnerable place to just open up and be like,
yes,
here's what I care about. Here's what I really want. I'm willing to lay this out on the table.
Or, and to take some risk.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is, and yeah, I agree with you. When guys hear vulnerability, I think it means you're supposed to cry. And in this situation, if you know that you don't know how she's going to react, if you just give her a sexual command, let's say, that's pretty vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
In a weird kind of way, that's actually being very vulnerable.
Yeah, and I think a lot of women will appreciate that a guy will put it out there, even if you fall on your face, right? That
yeah,
they'll appreciate that you put it out there as long as you recover it. Don't collapse. You know, if you screw up and she's like, oh, well, you screwed up, no big deal. But and you're like, oh, my God, but honey, do you think less of me now? Do you think that? And then you're really screwing yourself.
Then you're really screwing yourself. Yeah, I think how you recover is so much more important than not screwing up.
Okay.
If you're trying to stay safe all the time and only doing things that you know she's going to respond well, then you kind of know where you're going to wind up.
Yeah.
And I think women want to be taken on a ride. I think they want to be pushed to areas where they didn't even know existed.
I think I love that whole criteria that you laid out there. Is like, ask a question or say something where you really don't know how she's going to respond. And I don't want to, there's a way that that could be taken way out of context and gone down the other road. But on the one end, it was just like, really take some risks there. Create a ride for her. I like that.
Yeah. And, the other thing I would say, too, is if all else fails, you could actually talk to her about this. And I think...
imagine that.
Imagine that. I think there's a way in which that can really work, and a way in which it's not so useful. I think if you present this as sort of in a whiny kind of way or in a nonviolent communication kind of way, it's going to fall kind of flat. I think if you've gotten to a point where you're trying some of this stuff and it's just not working, your needs are still not being met, then I think really sitting down with your partner and not doing it right when it happened. And not, so you generally don't want to have these kinds of discussions when you're both naked in bed and something has gone wrong.
Right.
What you want to do is when you're both in a good mood, you have some time and space, you're both feeling sort of spacious enough to handle a conversation like this, you approach her and you present this as a relationship problem. That this is not a problem, you're not putting blame on her, on yourself. This is a problem the two of you have. That you're so deeply committed to this relationship that you don't want to see it get screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
That you want to brainstorm with her about how do we have an open discussion about this, I don't want anything to get in the way. I love you. I love our relationship, and I'm worried that this is getting to a point where it's going to start causing problems. It's going to get in the way of us having an amazing relationship, and I'm deeply committed to us having an amazing relationship.
I think when you put it in that context of, like, the reason why I care is because I want us to have a great relationship, that shifts things from being you don't want to have sex and I do and screw you're a bad person kind of thing. That this is really about having a shared purpose and desire to have an amazing relationship.
Right. And I think in that discussion, I think you want to be open to the possibility, too, that perhaps the two of you have different styles of relating, different styles of sex, different motivations to have sex, and that's not making either one of you wrong. It's just a stylistic difference. And if you can, that removes so much of the shame and blame game. If you can see that we all have different tastes, and we rarely beat up our partner for the fact they like Italian food more than we like Mexican food more.
Right, right.
But when it comes to sex, we often feel like our partner has to be the same or something is wrong. Mm. Wrong with them, wrong with us, or wrong with the relationship.
Yeah, and that's why that's why a guy wouldn't want to bring it up. It's like, I don't want to face the fact that something's wrong. Versus it may just be, hey, why don't we just figure out what the other person likes? You like Italian, I like Mexican. Let's see what we can do here.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. And I think you know, I talked about this before, is that unfortunately what winds up happening in those kinds of situations is that if one person likes Italian, one person likes Mexican, then they usually compromise on having Thai food, and then both people are dissatisfied. And really, there's nothing wrong with saying, all right, I'm not as into Mexican, but show me tell me why the Mexican's good. Show me.
Let's see those maracas. Yeah.
Yeah. Bring it on. Let's see. Prove to me how good it is. I think that creates such a different energy around it.
Yeah.
And I think we know that there are very different styles. I'm so fired up because of this conference I just came back from. It's an amazing, amazing research being presented on female desire in particular. And one of the things I was blown away with was these studies looking at women's motivations to have sex. And these were not clinical populations. These were just, you know, average women who actually were sexually satisfied, really being asked, you know, what the most common reasons why they either initiate sex or respond to sexual advances. Desire didn't make the top 30.
Wow.
Yeah. And you could get totally freaked out about that, that wasn't the takeaway. It was that women for guys, desire is right up there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for women, it's often not, and there's nothing wrong with that. That for a lot of women, there are all kinds of other reasons to initiate sex or to begin having sex. Desire comes in, but it's often not the reason they say yes in that first second.
Mm-hmm.
In that first second, it's often more things having to do with the relationship or the emotional stuff, and then the desire kind of starts kicking in.
Mm-hmm.
I just find that really a really powerful thing to be aware of, where if you're waiting for her to be overwhelmingly horny while sitting at home taking care of the kids, it's probably not going to happen, and you're going to be very frustrated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm imagining the guy that might be, it helps to kind of get her world a little bit more, because if I'm that guy and I'm kind of getting up the gumption to go sit down and have a talk with her and be like, hey, honey, I really want to talk about this. What if, she, you know, and I'm imagining he could be like, what if she says, I don't care, it's not important to me what, you know, what you think about sex? That'd be devastating. You know, I just wanted to voice that concern. What if that actually did come up?
I think you want to take that and really try not collapse into that, and really try to just stay there with her, because I think sometimes people, when this is this can be very confronting for her as well, just as it is for you.
Yeah.
That may be the sort of her defense mechanisms coming up and saying, well, you know, I just don't care. You know, it's not that important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Go do what you have to do. That may not be her deepest truth.
Got it.
But you may need to get past that phase first. And that's where I think if you're feeling kind of stuck, where you've been through this, you've tried different things. And as I said also, I was kind of only halfway joking, where if all else fails, talk to her. I don't know that talking deeply about this is the first approach. I think you try some nonverbal stuff. You try some of these techniques. Because the reality is that none of us are really that tuned in sometimes to what really works for us sexually. We may think something's going to work in our heads, but sex happens in the body, and it's only through experiencing it that we realize, oh, shit, that really worked. Wow, I didn't think that would work, but God, I'm really turned on right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun to just sort of try these things and just see what really works. But if it hasn't and you're talking and it's just you're still hitting your head up against the wall, that's when I think it is time to go seek some good professional help.
Yeah.
And if she won't go with you, then go by yourself.
Good. I think that's the big part there, is take responsibility for yourself. Go, if this is an issue for you, be willing to step out on your own and seek help on your own.
Yeah. And through this process, don't shut off your own desire. Your needs matter, and you are doing a disservice to yourself and to her if you just say, you know what, fine, it's not that important to me either then. That is a recipe for disaster. That is not going to work in the long term for you or her or your relationship in any way, shape, or form.
Big ones right there. Don't cut it off. I'm sorry. Don't cut off your desires, your sexuality, and be playful. Can you come in and want to explore and be playful? Get specific about what it is that you desire about her, not just that she's, you know, the person that you have sex with, essentially.
You know, I think a lot of guys come in like, oh my God, I want to learn 101 esoteric sexual techniques. You know, and it's like, you know, let's start with the basics. Let's start with, are you really being present with your partner? You know, are you feeling your own desires, feeling her deeply. That's what really matters. You know,
yeah.
are you approaching her in a way that she can, you know, that she is going to invite her in? You know, stick with that kind of stuff.
So it's really not about going, you know, onto one of these men's magazines websites and finding 101, you know, crazy shit you can, things that you can do with your hands kind of thing.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Got it. Well, Shondor, thanks for coming back and being on the show. As always, you just deliver such great stuff, and I appreciate you coming and talk to our guys. Where can we find out more about you and what you've got going on?
The best thing to do is go to mypleasure.com. We've got a lot of new stuff coming up, some great educational content there for guys and for couples and women. And if you are looking to spice things up in other ways, we sell some really nice little products as well.
Wonderful. Now, I've got a question for the listener out there. Think about what works for you. What works for you to kind of get the passion and the steam rolling in your relationships, and go on to triplinear.com and share that with us. Shondor, again, thanks so much. I look forward to having you back in the future. As always, just deep bow. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trip.
Take a moment to visit triplinear.com and let us know what you'd like to hear on The New Man. Thanks for listening.